Welcome back to the Antihero Voice. My name is Melissa.
I'm Lauren.
And Antiheroes, it's so good to be... I'm just reading from this. It is so good to be back with you guys. It's been 90 days. We had a giant move. There's so much to get to. We have tons of mail to get to. We just have so much to talk to you guys about. So first, I just want to say, again, welcome back to the show. I hope I don't knock everything over out of excitement. People who know me know that's true. Lali and I just have just so many updates. And I don't think I wrote this on our... As you guys know, we like have this faux script. We don't even have a script. I just kind of wrote down some things that we wanted to talk about today. So I think we may just throw that out because it never works. But there is a template here.
It's good to have
this. It's good to have the template. There has been a massive amount of stuff that's come out. But not only that, let's take you guys back to what this podcast is, okay? This is a podcast about everything under the sun. A broad analysis of the zeitgeist, as we always give this one commenter credit for. And we have missed you guys tremendously because we feel like out of all of our ventures, this is probably the most exciting one for us. We know a lot of people listen, but we know a lot of people know this is new. So we love all the mail we're getting. And there was actually a great person that we had before we get started on this brand new episode of the Antihero Voice. Let's do a couple things. The first thing is the most important thing, which is Toro Coffee Company. This episode is brought to you by Toro Coffee Company, 87 plus specialty coffee from my family farms and other micro lots all over the world. Highest graded, farm to cup. Let's see, what else? The greatest farms in all the world. So don't forget.
Go to Toro Coffee. ToroCoffeeCo.com.
And that's actually written down here. But that's how long it's been since we've done this. And I think that there is an endearing quality to the fact that we do record the Antihero Voice, not pretending to be something we're not. We throw this together real quick. As you guys know, we are, or you may not know, we had this tremendous move out here, which I think I said a couple times, but it has been crazy. And I think it's been like that for a lot of people. I know a lot of friends who have been moving, who have been changing careers. We live in a different environment now, so we're dealing with a lot of change, and for us, that's also something that happened. So we really, not so much apologize, but know that there's some mail to get to, and if you are listening, there are some of you that we want to know. We have a couple messages for, and we're going to get to those. We could do that at the end of the show, and we'll do that at the end
right,
of the show.
Right, and I'm also follow us, the Antihero Voice, at Antihero Voice on Twitter, and I'm tweeting live right now asking for comments or questions, and maybe you can get yours into the episode.
Oh, that's freaking awesome. Okay, so I didn't even think about that. All right, so since we're talking about Twitter, I want to tell you guys some stuff because I know we have this whole episode to get into, but...
Or what an antihero is?
Yes, and I have obviously some definitions of what an antihero is because a lot of people, they say on Twitter, because you know how people just love to start drama, and I'm like throwing stuff everywhere. Okay, I just dropped the mic. Everyone stay with me. No, we have this like crazy setup. It's like a little table, two chairs. You're gonna hear my chair squeaking, but if that isn't love, I don't know what is.
And Mel always talks with her hands, if you don't know this. So
Great way to make me seem crazy. That's not what happened.
No.
We have this little thing.
I wasn't looking. I was typing it.
Right. We have this little thing that fell over as I'm looking at the script. And then my computer is on the left side of me. So if you guys can even envision that. And now Lauren is going to try to take live questions. So I don't know. Obviously, you know, we have 1,000-some followers on Twitter. We hope you guys have some live questions. If not, we know that this is new. So just come back to us because, like we said, if you engage with the Antihero Voice, we're going to give out a fresh bag of roasted-to-order Toro Coffee Company Oro. And that is to fuel being bold, living free, and never settling, and taking chances like us right now. Recording another episode of the Antihero Voice, really not even knowing where we're starting with. So, should I go back to Twitter? What were we doing before that?
I don't know. I'm trying to see if I can tag you during your suspension.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about. So, again, before we get into the cusp of the show today really is just about touching base with you guys and letting you know what's going on. So, we're going to talk about what an antihero means again for anyone who has missed 11 episodes. So if you haven't heard the Antihero Voice before, go get a chance. You have 11 episodes to listen to. They're really funny. They're really insightful, I like to think. They're really deep at moments. You know, they're supposed to be funny. The point of this is not so much to be a serious news channel. We just want to be the voice for again, the anti-hero. And an anti-hero is someone like I said before, Deadpool.
Robin Hood.
A lot of people even use Scarface. I know that's not a good example, but you know, he had, but let me explain. He had endearing qualities. There were things people understood, but the chase for money and the dream, right? Scarface, I don't think he did a lot of good things, but he had endearing qualities. So I shouldn't use that as an example, but...
No, like Robin Hood or Deadpool, they are more... That's
right?
Different.
Or even Batman. Some people might say that Batman was a hero, but at the same time, people... he was an anti-hero because he was complex and he was flawed. And so I want to read you guys some definitions, which I had screenshot on my phone, but I want to make sure I don't lose the podcast because a lot of things have changed on Anchor, which I'm really also excited about because we're going to give you guys more content and it's giving us more options. So bear with me. So anti-hero, the definition. Now, what you'll first get is a central character in a story or movie who lacks conventional... heroic attributes. Yes, conventional heroic attributes. Most of us don't wear capes. Most of us live day to day as flawed people, understanding that most characters in life come from really complex backstories, and what makes them heroes are their backstory and also the complexity of who they are. And so that's kind of what this is about. It's about giving a voice of genuineness and knowing that we want to help the world, but understanding our own flaws. Does that make sense? I hope it does. I know it makes sense to you guys. I know on Twitter, people who are not really big picture thinkers are like, it just means anti-hero. No, it does not mean anti-hero, like being an anti-hero. It's about being an anti-hero. Does that make sense? You're not anti-heroic attributes. You're just someone who's called an anti-hero because normally you would not be seen as this typical hero. And there are a lot of people in this world. Some people say even Mark Zuckerberg is an anti-hero. Someone who was able to bring families together and reunite people, but also at the same time is looked at as a villain in different types of ways. Bill Gates, also seen as an anti-hero. So I'm talking about many people. I haven't even mentioned women, really. So I want to talk about more women who are seen as anti-heroes. I would say every woman is seen as an anti-hero. As soon as a woman reaches a certain level of peak greatness in politics or whatever the case may be, there seems to be this nonstop roar from another side to kind of demonize that woman, to talk about, you know, how she's evil. Like, for example, Hillary Clinton, who obviously was almost our president in the United States, if you're listening anywhere abroad. And a lot of people hate her because they like to talk about how, you know, they say all these crazy things about her, but she's an anti-hero. She's someone who had to kind of do some deep, dark, grimy things for our government, because we all know the United States government isn't clean, nor is any other government. And I know we have probably more flaws than most, but she was able to also be a hero to many women and many people who looked up to her and said to themselves, you know what, that's one badass person, woman or not, who was able to diplomatically work things in the world as our Secretary of State, et cetera, et cetera. So they may
say... Right, and then whether or not you were a fan of the choices she made in that role or future choices or the campaign or whatever, you cannot deny the fact of how amazing it was to have a woman on the ballot and the feeling, you know, of it, and it was real, and the disappointment of it was real too, because so she won by 3 million votes.
But what, so she essentially in that election or in that campaign against Trump became this other anti-hero. And a lot of people may say Trump is an anti-hero, which I don't believe, but that's their opinion. They could say, well, this is a guy who didn't have... That's what a lot of evangelicals say. They say, well, he doesn't have the technical heroic attributes that you would find in the Bible, but God has chosen him. He is our hero. And
God did not choose that.
Anyway, the point is, we all have our definition of anti-hero, but I want to read something else. And the Urban Dictionary has some of the best anti-hero definitions. So,
oh yeah, what are they?
And I think I read them to you guys before, but
well, let's remind people, we don't want to be confused with any pro-left or pro-right groups at all.
Exact. Well, I don't even know why we're saying that. Are we saying why would you say that? Like pro-left, pro-right? What? Because someone had said to us on Twitter that our kind of banner looked like Antifa.
Right. Just because of a color scheme or something, and we're not Antifa. We don't know color scheme. You know, that's what I'm saying. But I'm not trying to get into the political factor. So what definitions?
What I was saying is that Antifa, I actually agree with their work. So I don't care if people want to say those are a couple Antifa chicks from Seattle. But
except
we do
for public private property being destroyed. I don't think you
right. We've spoken about that, but a criminal is a criminal. Not all Antifa breaks stuff. There are a couple people who are part of Antifa that broke things.
Exactly, and Trumpers, they break stuff too.
Exactly, and kill people. Antifa hasn't killed anyone.
Yes, rest in peace, Heather Heyer.
Okay, I think we've done that before in our last podcast. So if you don't know, yes, we absolutely stand with Antifa, who is going to go out there as anti-fascist, because that's what Antifa means. So anyway, so anti-hero means, this is a great definition from someone who put this on the internet. An anti-hero is a flawed hero and therefore much more interesting than the more traditional heroes. They can be working on the side of good, but with tragic flaw or a horrible past or reasons that they are selfish or not entirely quote-unquote pure. They can also be working for the side of evil, but with hidden noble intentions or other underlying complexities. These darker heroes can be jerks, pathetic, hard, jaded, or mean. However, all anti-heroes must have enough heroic qualities, intentions, or strength, physical including attractiveness or mental, to somehow gain the sympathy of the audience. Mostly they are intriguing, and therefore they can be very, very sexy, especially if you love bad boys, girls. We all know anti-heroes include Batman, Angel, Draco Malfoy, Napoleon Dynamite. Again, oh, so you
that's
see
a good one.
Exactly, like we're just normal everyday people who don't maybe have a cape on, but the point is we have a voice, and we have a voice in this nation, and we have a voice right here on the Anti-Hero Voice. And
we want to do good things with it and bring important facts and news and thoughts in our head to you.
A broad analysis of the zeitgeist. And if you would like to be a part of this, please check out our Patreon. We're going to link that under everywhere we post this, and you can find our podcast everywhere from iTunes to Stitcher, so please be on the lookout. So we haven't even gotten to the cusp of the matter, and I know it takes a lot of people a lot of time after sponsors and everything to get into everything in regards to the podcast or what they're filming or shooting. And again, I'm in my head right now because Lauren is doing something on Twitter and it's coming up on my phone. So let's just get into Twitter.
Sorry.
No, let's just get into Twitter real quick, and I'm going to talk about this. So I was suspended on Twitter, and I am annoyed. Okay.
For nothing, really.
I want people to be able to hear you because I have the mic over here.
For nothing, really. I mean, I don't even know. It wasn't
If you want, okay, I did not do anything. You know what I did? I'm not going to even say I didn't do anything. I have had my credit card, I've had credit cards taken out of my name. I've had someone impersonate my business. I've had people come into my store, my online store, and create, just bombard me with hundreds of thousands of Russian accounts. I have been dealing with this now since I got into a public feud with the NRA, and this is what it's like to have when people are extreme on the right or left. And as you guys know, here on the Anti-Hero Voice, we do not go in that direction. Yes, you're probably going to say to yourself, well, these are a bunch of liberal chicks. You're probably going to get that because we are. Yes, we probably would fall more in line with the Democratic Party. We're both independents this year. I can openly say that. It was hard for us not to vote in the primary for Andrew Gillum. We just got to Florida. We're going to get into that in a second. But in regards to Twitter, it's very sad to see trolls go after not only you online and try to desecrate your name and your company, which I've had to deal with now since Dana Lash and her husband were just adamant about bringing me down for one tweet, which was essentially, you know what, if you're obsessed with guns you're obsessed with guns and don't see that you are just an ammosexual and that
such a crybaby.
That's like me saying that douchebag. Like, you know, because marijuana is legal, I should have, you know, I should be able to grow 25 acres without getting a permit or something. Yeah. There has to be limits to what we do.
Yeah, and they do it. They're like Twitter fame whores. Like, Dana Loesch Lash, whatever her name is legit crazy. I liked a tweet of someone making fun of her husband, and she blocked me. It's like,
okay,
so weird.
So anyway, the point is, I am suspended on Twitter. It's worse than Twitter jail because I don't know if I'm going to get my followers back, what's going to happen. This is the first time it's happened like this before in such severe measures. And it's stupid Twitter. Who freaking cares? But at the same time, it is how we show who we are to other people when these kind of misunderstandings happen. The great thing about social media is that you can put out something on Facebook if something goes wrong on Twitter. The thing is with Facebook, I haven't really felt Facebook in a while. I didn't even go on for my birthday, which sounds like so babyish, but for someone like me, who doesn't like the attention? Of course I was going to go ahead and turn my page on Facebook and see who was still there loving me despite Facebook falling apart. But I didn't even want to know. I knew that Facebook was so fake and that all of us had decided to partake in this horrible game of pretend that I didn't even want to be a part of it this year. I didn't want to hear my supposed best friends who are never around when things are really horrible or when I'm sick tell me how much I mean to them or when I'm moving aren't there to even like lift a finger to help me move. So this isn't about, you know, being upset or what?
I tweeted.
Oh, okay. Law's totally just like, I kind of like it because I was going to talk about how I can't shoot the podcast without you, but how sometimes I do want to do an episode for each of us. Like, you do an episode, I do an episode. So we may do that, guys. And I think I said that in the past. So now that we got into how I'm suspended on Twitter, I just want to give a shout out to my friends who follow me on Twitter. It wasn't something intentional. Yes, you guys know how I tweet sometimes when I'm angry, especially when someone... Look, anger is weakness. But this dude, John Cole, and you can find him online, he has like 50,000 aliases.
I'll tell you a couple.
He actually pretended... No, I don't want to hear a couple of his aliases. Don't give this guy any credit.
All right.
He pretended to be Toro Coffee Company, and Twitter has not done anything about that.
Nothing.
Imagine running a company.
We sent them our business licenses and everything, and Twitter is negligent.
Well, it's not just that. It's that Jack Dorsey obviously does seem to favor alt-right types of people, and I'm not just saying that. Look, I am just a centrist, essentially, in this day and age, when it comes down to where our party's at. And I don't even know, I would say a centrist within what's happening with progressives, because I believe in capitalism, and I know that capitalism to many people is the reason for homelessness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I get it, but we also have to sell things to one another, and there are going to be many people in life who want to scale their businesses. I think there should be caps on that. I think there should be regulations. I think we took this too far, but I do believe that naturally we all need to, you know, have marketplaces with one another. That's how we get things, you know. And I think that can be done and still be called capitalism in a proper capital. I guess
a mix with censorship and
what do you mean, socialism?
Internet censorship. I'm talking about.
All right, so we're Alex Jones
with Twitter. You were what did you? It's not like you didn't say anything that was hurtful.
Okay, so
or
what I did
violent.
What I did is I called them putos, you know, like bitch in Spanish. And you know what, if I ever want to run for office, thank you guys for pulling this one clip. Who cares? Yes, I called someone a puto on Twitter. I've done worse. There are times when I just don't care. It's not that I'm this reckless, crazy person. It's just sometimes I just want to tell them what like crappy pieces of nothing they are. And I think I have a way of saying it with such truth that it really infuriates them, and they focus on me like I'm some freaking celebrity. And it does make me feel special, don't get me wrong. But when you have so many people on Twitter tweeting about how this guy, John Cole, is stealing your identity, it makes you feel weird, like you're not seeing some things. Apparently some things were posted on Gab. I don't know if he posted a naked picture of me post after a shower or something.
We haven't looked.
And you're probably not going to find stuff like that on my phone and or anywhere. So that's the whole thing. You're kind of stalking the wrong person. But look, I'm not going to give him too much credit. I will give him credit for making me mad enough to use all of his aliases to report me. I don't know if Twitter's going to give me my account back.
And the resistance knows. I mean, like, there are a couple, several people who are like, you know, keeping up on who he's harassing.
Well, that's the thing. Even the resistance, I've told you guys what I feel about that. I think it's great that we all follow each other, and I absolutely believe we must resist this administration and the people who follow Trump. I mean, let's be real, guys. At this point, like, what? I mean, I understand some of you understanding the way Trump speaks, really relating to him, but I hope you guys also know, and this is to my boys out there, my incels, my MGTOWs who are listening to us and giving us a chance as women, two lesbians, I mean, mind blown, seriously, I love you guys, but let's be real about this. I think a lot of you guys just support Trump because he represents that misogynistic kind of way that you guys were raised into, and that's what fucked you guys up.
And I think you guys want to hear what we think about it all.
If you didn't, you wouldn't be listening.
That's
so
right.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank
probably
you.
Telling me off in a comment after this. But
that's,
I think,
cool. We love that. Thank you.
I think some of you also have been amazing and left comments and just have sent emails that just show us that we are speaking to
real
our boys still. You
and
guys.
Real people.
Humans belong humans. Together. We are a community, and I'm never going to turn my back on people who support Trump or people who are... Look, this sounds so weird. My human race needs me. Just like needs... It needs you. All of us have this, like, this inability to, some of us have this inability to understand that we're all connected by energy. It sounds crazy, but how can you not even know that now with social media and everything, how connected we are? We're getting smaller and smaller, and just, it's not a good thing so much, but it is something that's bringing us closer, so maybe that's a good thing. but for, I do want to talk to these people I don't agree with. And I told Lai, I said, my dream is essentially to have this kind of podcast that brings everybody together that I don't agree with. I want to sit and have these great conversations with people I don't agree with. So anyway, we love you guys no matter what you're doing in regards to your own personal life or whatever. I do want to talk about Jacksonville in a second. I know that that's a lot of information, just random. I mean, this is so quick. We're just talking about everything, but why not? It's been 90 days. Let's just get this out there.
A lot has happened.
Yeah, and I'm drinking that good Kush, the Toro coffee right there. Toro coffee is always going to be something you can rely on. If you don't have cannabis around, like here in Florida, we don't have the type of cannabis we were dealing with in Washington. And if you are coming down from cannabis in a way, or like microdosing, I was microdosing for my disease, which is cyclical vomiting syndrome, which is here approved in Florida as something you will get prescribed cannabis for.
Yes, amendment two, it's a qualifying condition.
It's an absolutely qualifying condition, but I have been so busy. I've been flipping a home with Lauren. Lauren and I did get back together. We decided to move to Florida. That's what we need to talk about. We're jumping everywhere. But yeah, let's take a minute. Let's just breathe for a second. I mean, how many minutes are we in already? Let's see. I have no idea what I even raced about. I should probably cross some of these out. But so yeah, we work on 90 days. It was a giant move, so let's talk about it. Do you want to talk about the move, how you feel being here? So just so you guys know, we drove, again, 3,500 miles from gentrified Oregon and Washington, because it wasn't so much that we couldn't afford it. It was that the dreams that we had as an American couple, despite me being a Colombian American, obviously I was born in this country. Oh, I say Colombian American because I want to get my dual citizenship, and that's a criteria for me right now. But in regards to us leaving, it was really hard for us to leave the PNW, extremely hard. When we tried to go to Mexico, the PNW almost called us back, and it did call us back, and we came back and we gave Eugene a chance. And I think you all knew that Eugene wasn't so much our style. We loved the slow vibe of it. We loved how everybody was, but it just wasn't for someone like me. I'm a little bit more flashy, as is Lauren, and I needed something more.
We stood out, and not in a good way or a bad way, just as people that are, I don't know, from different or somewhere else. Or
right, we had that East Coast swagger.
Still very East Coast, and they're so slow, and it's really refreshing sometimes how slow they are, but sometimes it's annoying. But
you loved how slow it was, did you not?
I miss it so much.
And we worked 100. We worked at 100 miles an hour there either way.
And I tweeted an article this morning from the Seattle Times how that now for future tourism, they're planning on smoky summers. And
that was a red line for me. I pretty much said after 2015, because Lauren and I ended up living in the West Coast, I think approximately 5 years and 8 months or something. And I remember telling Lauren, I said, I want to live here for the rest of my life. But if it becomes a summer like it is right now in 2015, if we do this in 2016, 2017, I don't know that I can live here. And then it kept happening. And I ran my triathlon in Vancouver, really questioning my privilege, because I would, like I told you, I think I mentioned this to you guys before, when I ran that triathlon, I was really proud of myself because I felt like it was an apocalyptic course to prepare me for the future. I mean, I had water under me that was spiraling because of how the moon was out in the middle of this wild early morning where there's just fire and debris flying from the most beautiful mountains in Vancouver.
It was insane.
Yes.
It was insane.
And people just, you know, running these Ironmans. And I'm thinking, this is not normal. This just shows how society will continue acting normal even when the world is falling apart.
I was so most upset because clearly these athletes couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe as an observer. And it was like, they wouldn't cancel it because of the money, because you have to pay hundreds of dollars to enter the triathlon, and they'd have to reschedule it. And the city was so busy because the Women's World Cup was in town. It was all
so
money.
That's why I was a part of it. So I haven't run triathlon since, but I'm so happy to be back in Florida because the good thing about Florida is that there's fresh air,
a lot of it,
a lot more fresh water. We have what's going on in Loxahatchee, which is horrible, the algae problem and the red tide.
Right.
So I don't know that it's actually cleaner water, but we do have...
I think it our tap water. We don't drink it, but I do think it's cleaner.
We are continuing to buy water. So as you all know, I mean, we're... We're swimming in oceans that are filled with debris from all the trash that we've thrown out. We've seen the pictures in the Philippines of all the trash just essentially coming up as a wave and attacking people. It's been really hard to know where to move and where to settle down. And Lauren and I just didn't know what to do. And we had this opportunity where essentially my mother-in-law was amazing and was like, I want to gift you this house. And she gave it to us, and we have been flipping it, knowing that we will get the return on it, and just working our butts off, and but also wanting to continue our projects. So we had to do this.
Right,
on
this is a big project, this house for us.
Yes. So if we don't do as many episodes, I want you all to know it's because we're trying to make money to actually put more investment into these projects, from Toro Coffee Company to the Antihero Voice. And just to touch back on Twitter, for all the people who follow me on Twitter, which it's only like 3,000 people, but my friends, I have some great close friends that watch me on there, and really, they care about me, and they care about how upset I get about the Trump administration. It's not even the Trump administration. It's about the people who supported Trump that are so, like, they just triple down on how crappy they are as racist. I'm talking about severe people. I'm not talking about all Trump supporters. But even though I'm not trying to make Trump supporters, I'm not trying to give them a pass for anything anymore.
No. I just tweeted, it's funny that you say this, this article about Trump supporters. And hold on, I'm pulling it up right now. Are Trump supporters driven by a moral hatred or simply shaped by moral codes that liberals or leftists don't understand? Trump, this guy said his thoughts are Trumpsters are motivated by immoral hate that we can, or we being a liberal or leftist, cannot relate to and will never expect. And I say we because I don't understand these people. So it says, are Trump supporters, is on Raw Story, are they evil or just wrong? And I'm glad that they're starting this conversation now. I feel like Melissa and I have been having it for forever.
But well, it feels like
it's true, because they cross really fundamental human lines, and it's not about party or politics. It's about hate, and they're angry and mean.
Well, we know all that. So what I want to say, and I agree with you, babe.
This just came out.
100,000%. I am with you. I think what I want everybody who's listening to understand is that Lauren and I have really been feeling what the world has been feeling, and I know we're all in the same place here. I think that all of us, whether you're a Bernie-crat, a Hillary supporter, or you didn't vote at all, or you voted for Trump because he just represented something that was like an F you to the establishment, or whatever, and please don't mind my language. I'm sorry, guys, when I get passionate about these things, I say this. But we have never really, like, not tried to understand, but I think we're at a point in this world right now where it's like, this guy really did. I had a conversation with someone in Seattle before I left. This guy really did do incredibly generation-altering things to our future. When I had a conversation with someone, this was around Christmas. This was before Trump was elected. This friend of my friend goes, what, how do we know, don't look at that, because you're gonna throw me off. He's like, what do you think, that he's gonna enslave people? Yeah. And I said, yes, this man works hand
in
hand with,
before the child internment camp.
This is exactly, yes, and that's the point. So, like, look, Trump has done things that, what do you guys think is gonna happen when these kids are out of this foster care system that we're essentially making for them, with the, after separating them from their parents, they don't even need to be in foster care. We could seriously just put these people up in a shelter together, or keep them together, but you know, that's just way too.
No,
too,
this was actually serious. One of the first things that happened after we, you know, when we were first on our break, I had come to Florida, and it was, he did this disgusting thing, as we know, with the children, separating them from the families, and then the families belonged together. March came up, and I was here in West Palm Beach, and I went to that march, and I saw, you know, local rep Lois Frankel was there, and the best part was that we crossed the bridge and we marched to Mar-a-Lago to let, you know, Trump know that he sucks and there are thousands of us that don't like you locally.
And
they want families to stay together. Sorry.
So, look, we're kind of telling you guys news you already know, but I just wanted you guys to know again how we feel about those things. I think you know. It's the most important thing in my life. I know that Races is now one of the nonprofits that we will be delegating our money to from Toro Coffee.
That's right.
We're also trying.
If you guys don't know, that's all proceeds from, all profits from Toro Coffee go to selected charities.
Yes. And right now we have three or four. We're actually really making sure that the Drug Policy Alliance, which we have right now, it's only been there for a couple minutes, so we haven't actually delegated any cash to it. But we want to make sure that they are pushing cannabis, that they are going to push cannabis. So I want to talk to you about that before we even make sure that we're going to be delegating any money to them.
Right. So we have races.
Yes, which will help with legal fees for this situation that Trump is creating, among other things. And then it's heart-wrenching. And then I just want to give a shout-out to our last nonprofit that I believe we're going to take care of one last thing, but if we work with them again, I want to give a shout out to my friend Amanda. I would call her a friend because she did incredible work with IWIN in regards to IWIN and what we needed to learn as a company that's been delegating money now for 2 years. It hasn't been a lot of money, but we've been doing this properly. So we have just been making sure that our overhead costs are taken care of, and Lauren and I don't even pay ourselves, and then we give everything back to charity. And it has been a really emotional experience because IWIN hit close to home when my grandmother got her breast cancer diagnosis, and then right before I moved, a lot of people don't know this, so I'll just say this now. I am in Florida because I found a lump in my boob. On my left breast, it could be, you know, normal. We don't know yet. And also because I have my health problems. But I hate even saying that because health is a mindset. But to get back to IWIN, Amanda Mansard. Should I even say her last name? I think it's okay. I know. Well, that's why I was studying a little bit. I'm like, I don't know what to do. All right. So, but Amanda, you just did an incredible job, and I look forward to writing your reference letter.
We love working with you.
We absolutely loved working with you because you
made it worth it for us.
But not just that. Let's talk about how professionalism is lacking from everywhere,
right?
In doctors' offices to whatever the case may be. And when
nonprofits.
You actually, yes, other nonprofits, when you actually see a board member working as a
director.
Real director of a nonprofit, or, right. But whatever Amanda's role was, she really cared about the mission and what she was doing. And
yes.
I, as we've worked with nonprofits, they're either too big to care, and that's why we're trying to work with smaller ones. We definitely want to work with the Covenant House. But it was just nice to have someone, again, be a professional. That's something that's lacking in our generation. And I'm really hoping that that's something we can get back. With Trump, a lot of professionalism has been lost. And I would even say that I make my mistakes all the time. I don't run Toro Coffee Company so much professionally as I do. I run it professionally in regards to making sure the coffee and everything is done properly. But sometimes I write crazy tweets. And then when you have someone like Amanda who understands who you are and why you're as passionate as you are, and that's why you created your own business, you say to yourself, thank God for my generation. And that's the point. Thank God to our generation for all the people who do understand that most of us just want to give back and work with one another. And we're now working no longer in these like big corporations. We're working in these like small nonprofits that we're building or that we're working for, and working with one another as professionals, not so much in the office. So shout out to everybody who's able to work with one another with dignity and regard and professionalism over the internet without having to be side by side. All right. So thank you guys for doing that with our external nonprofits, for donating to them, and again for the people who've worked with us. And I mean, there's more to talk about. So can we talk about why we left and why it took us so long to come back? And again, guys, it took us so long to come back. Let's just get to that first. We, again, just to touch on this, we are extremely busy, and I think you guys are too. I see my friends on Facebook; they're not there. They're busy living lives.
To come back to the podcast.
Yeah, to come back to the podcast. Okay. And also, I mean, shout out to my friend Bridget Espinola. I saw you deactivate Facebook. That worries me. You know what I mean? Like when some people like leave Facebook, I haven't seen my friends since I left, and really since I moved to Eugene, even though I was on West Coast. So now that I'm here in Florida, I'm thinking about these people that I love working with, and I'm just thinking, I hope you guys are well. We miss you. Even though we're only like 3 hours time distance away, sometimes it feels...
Well, Yeah, time zone, but...
Time zone, and also 5 days, 6 days. Yeah,
right.
It took us 10 days to get home, so it was a long one. So we don't want to bore you guys, but can we... I mean,
so
I
wanted
was,
to talk about
yeah, I wanted
why
to talk
we
about,
left, so...
I feel like if I stop, it'll bore you guys, but...
Was
definitely a factor.
The fires hadn't started when we made our final decision, but I felt instinctually that they would based on the prior summers, and I think Mel did too, and unfortunately, we were right.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's like so disheartening to see like one of the most beautiful places in this whole country. And I know now for sure because I've been back and forth two different ways, and that it is just
three different ways.
whatever, that it's being just, you know, in smoke, it's just the smoke, and, you know, I know fires rejuvenate things, but people cannot breathe in it, and there's so many homeless people out there.
Right, so let's talk about gentrification.
How are they breathing?
Okay, so
there's no air up there.
Another thing that pretty much pushed us out of the PNW was this influx of people who moved there to find a better way of life. I think it's a lot of LGBTQIA people who want to be accepted, who want to smoke weed. It's also regular people. I meant like, you know, cisgender, regular, you know, to the evangelicals. You know what I'm saying? They also... you know, typical hetero families also left in our generation to go enjoy.
There was a mass migration out west, right?
Right, to go enjoy
the start of it.
Right, to go people long before us, but yeah.
Well, sure. No, but yes. In the past few years, because we noticed that how much it was growing in Seattle was crazy, and then also in Oregon.
So, I was just saying something, I totally forgot, it doesn't matter, but...
So the
I was talking about how just because even people with families, because we're going to talk about the Watts family who moved to Colorado and the Watts story. All
right.
But people from our generation seem to choose these really liberal leaning states, even if they weren't completely liberal leaning, for the cannabis,
right.
For, you know, if you were LGBTQIA, it was for the option to be able to live in a place where you're supposed to be seen as free. And even though there are your racist and homophobes there and xenophobes there, you're still able to be with like-minded people in these regions. So it was really hard to leave that, and also really hard to see our rent go up, even in Eugene, $300 or $400 a month.
Randomly after, you know, 2 years.
Right. And that's what was happening in Seattle. And the reason why we came to Eugene is because we were on our way to Mexico. All these crazy things happened. I didn't know if there were signs or what. We told you guys about this. But point is, we ended up in Eugene. And we weren't unhappy there. But I'm not going to pay $1,600 for a place that's not going to be mine. When you're looking for houses in Eugene, you do think to yourself, it smells like tires are burning here every night.
It smelled so strange.
Yes, this is real. People have cancer there.
People around there were like, oh, I don't smell it. And it's like... How do you not smell? It smells like rotten eggs. I even called because I thought it was natural gas one time, but, you know.
No, it's true. It doesn't.
Eugene.
It's Eugene. Eugene smells like Eugene, but it's also a great place. It's also...
It is. I miss it.
I miss it so much, and that's the point. So, you know, we were pushed out by these types of things that happen, and also that the city wasn't clean. That the city was clean. It just had this smell. It's almost like there's so much progressiveness that people were a little too lackadaisical. Does that make sense? Like, I don't even want to call it progressive. It's not progressiveness. It's like this leniency. But with leniency comes delinquency sometimes. And we're going to get into that. But
you're right. The streets were clean.
Yes, the streets are clean. It's... But you see a lot of meth use, drug use. And what I want to do to everyone, what I want to say to everyone is we all know how to fix this problem. And that's to legalize all drugs. When you legalize all drugs, you're not going to have people searching on the streets for it. You're not going to have people breaking into your house, robbing your house. They're going to be able to get it from a doctor, or they're going to be able to sell, you know, even the ones they get from the doctor on the street that aren't going to be cut. So, I mean, there are just so many factors in why we need to legalize heroin. I don't know about crystal meth, but I think that Adderall is pretty much crystal meth.
Well, what about naturally occurring drugs such as marijuana, opium, and cocaine?
But that's already happening. Not cocaine, but not opium, because that's heroin.
I'm saying legalizing them.
That's what I just said.
But not like things concocted from a bunch of other things like meth.
Okay, so yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that no, meth should not be legal, but all drugs should be legal technically. And maybe even meth. I don't know. All I know is that we have the serious problem, and it's obvious we have to legalize all drugs.
Right.
You start there, and then you talk about how to deal with the issue when someone is ready to stop. Because it doesn't matter either way. If they're not ready to stop, they're not ready to stop. So do you want them not ready to stop, you know, not having a chance to live? Or do you want them to be able to look at this as, okay, I'm getting prescribed too much, or I'm prescribed to this, I have to take it every day, they get sick of it themselves, and then they just outgrow it. There's just so many different scenarios and what happens to an addict. But anyway, we were talking about something before that, but we were talking about homelessness. Shanann, we're going to talk about the Watts case, East versus West. Obviously, I miss the West Coast immensely. The cannabis laws, they've got to hurry up here. I am getting my medical cannabis license, this is Lauren, but it's like,
it's so antiquated.
And no, it's our personal freedom being taken away. You can drive down the street here off of Royal Palm and you will see a gun shop off of every corner.
Everywhere. Okay?
So it's hard to come from this amazing way of life that's filled with freedom, and they have guns there too. Okay? There's like guns and cannabis in Oregon and Washington, and in Canada, obviously. But if we don't legalize this, we just aren't going to evolve fast enough. So I have faith in Florida. I wouldn't be here if they didn't have medicinal cannabis. And we're going to change the laws if we have to. So, guys, I feel like I just rushed through this. I want to talk about, what was the last, we have this completely crazy note, but, or crazy
no,
thing.
No, no worries. West versus East?
Yeah, I talked about it. So we'll talk about that more as we stay here.
I mean, it's a lifestyle. It's the way of people around you. For example, our main road that we, in Eugene, that we lived off of was 30 miles an hour, maybe 35 was the speed limit. And then the road here, you know, it's 55. And it's just, it's went from like small, in a small community in a very large West Coast, mm-hmm. is what I felt like,
yes.
to crazy Florida, like...
Right, with no access to public transportation.
Motor highway.
There could be a neighborhood that is 3 miles deep, and you're not going to have public transportation in that.
No.
That is a serious problem.
Yes.
The fact that you cannot walk over to a store is a serious problem. That is mostly accessible to you in the West Coast and these two states, in Washington, Oregon. I've been to California too, but I've lived in these two states. You're not going to find as many, I think they call them like grocery deserts or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to find as many of them on the West Coast. You're going to find a grocery store just like here. And same on the East Coast. Like if you come to Florida, it's a thin island essentially. If we cut it off from the top of Georgia and the Florida line, obviously Florida would just be like one thin island that probably would connect with a couple little, you know, things like going to Georgia. Just imagine it like that. Florida has a lot of resources. It has a lot of fresh air. It has a lot of fish. I mean, I just lost my train of thought on that. About Florida and Georgia. What was I talking about?
About its natural resources and the amount of solar.
No, but I was talking about
that,
something before. Anyway, I totally lost my train of thought on that, guys. I'm sorry.
Cannabis laws.
We talked about
Andrew.
That. We're going to talk about Andrew. So let's talk about now. Andrew Gillum, just if you can, if you live in Florida, vote for him. If you are in any other surrounding states, make
support
sure you
him.
Push him.
Yeah.
If you live on the West Coast, you guys know that Florida is a swing state. The only way to make this happen is to get this guy elected. We're still working with an electoral college. And
get the truth out.
We need paper ballots. I hate how crazy this podcast is today, but we are going to publish it either
yes,
way.
Yes, that's all right. It'll be fun to listen to. We won't be blabbing on about one thing for too long.
No,
this
has been the most ADD episode. And I'm sorry for any spots that I went into and I forgot. You know, I want people to understand we're going to have some amazing guests on the Antihero Voice. And there are moments like this where we just shoot the podcast like this. We just want you guys to know we're still here. We love talking to you guys. We see you guys listening. And it just, we know that we need to put out another one. So we hope you guys like it. It's just, again, this broad analysis of the zeitgeist. I did want to go over some things that happened. Essentially, you have many indictments regarding Trump. I think you guys know who that is. We know that Manafort is going to be working with Mueller, which is great news. But what does that mean for this country after that? I don't know. So I know you guys are all feeling a weird vibe like we are. Just remember to be the anti-hero and to just look for the good in every situation and just try to use everything you've learned in life from this like crazy difficult lives we've all been given to help the world heal. You see a lot of the Parkland kids doing that. They're not sitting there like crying about what happened. They're like making change. So you were pulling up something to talk about. That's why I was talking about all this.
I have Chris Watts up too. All
right.
And I was reading some stupid stuff. You know, Eminem, I would be going into something else, but Eminem dropped his album last night and there's some stuff with Machine Gun Kelly, blah, blah.
No, that's good. I'm really stoked about Kamikaze.
I'm sorry.
Make sure you guys check that album out. Eminem has been killing it.
On fire lately, for real.
Lately.
Well, I mean, just...
Yeah, anyway. Lately. So, not lately. Always.
We all know what Chris Watts was charged with?
Well, can we just talk about something real quick? And we're going to talk about Chris Watts. Yeah. But let's, before we talk about Chris Watts, talk about how unfair it is that if you are a black man charged with murder, they just did a little side-by-side. Many of you probably saw that. Black man charged with the same crime. Okay, but very different because he was defending his daughter who was raped.
Oh, that's right.
Right. And then you have Chris Watts. And all we do is hear about how Chris Watts was this doting dad, et cetera, et cetera. We don't hear about anything about the other guy. And in fact, I don't even know his name.
That's what I just said. What is his name?
Exactly. So that's the point. And again, you guys, I should do this research. I'm just putting this out there. I hope you're just listening for fun. You know, this is not a fun topic to talk about. This is actually disgusting. It has to do with misogyny. This has to do with entitlement. It has to do with sociopaths. I've dealt with all of those things. So I don't want to talk too much about Chris Watts. I want to talk about Shanann.
Yeah, let's talk about Shanann. So, I just retweeted a beautiful quote of hers, and she was a good person.
All right, so this is what I want to say to, like, a couple people making YouTube videos about Shanann and essentially saying that Shanann lived this kind of pretentious Facebook life. We all do it. I don't actually anymore because I was kind of seen in my own element telling off a man who was trying to rape my wife and I and the neighbor upstairs to stalk us.
Yeah, two minutes of our life.
Yeah, so whatever. Crisis. So there's never been, after that, that's when I started Toro Coffee. It's really been about reinvention and redemption for me every time something crazy happens. So I always, you know, feel so lucky to not have been killed by a crazy sociopath. You guys can listen to the Me Too episode and you'll hear a lot about what I've had to deal with in regards to men and their entitlement. Shanann did put up a show for Thrive and Lavelle, which is what is the company that, the mother company of Thrive.
Right.
If for Toro Coffee, I don't know that I do the same thing, but I do. Look, you guys it's the best coffee in the world, it really is. When I tell you it's the highest graded, it really is. When I tell you that it's magical, it really is because I micro batch roast this at like not even 400 grams at a time. How do I do it? I don't know. I go crazy usually.
Well, and we choose not to get, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And we choose to be honest with each other. And
that's why we would love your support because we're looking to buy a second giant roaster. We really need this to happen.
Well, we want
to
make the podcast better. We have a Patreon. So, you know,
we want to make sure we can offer you guys something. So we're still learning how to do our Patreon. We're just so busy. So we're really just shooting these podcasts just to kind of talk to you guys about these current events.
It's been too long.
So to get back to Shanann Watts and Chris Watts, as you guys know, this was this really good-looking couple that lived in Colorado. And they lived in North Carolina. That's my home state, too. So it seems like they just wanted to get out of their own home state, start a new life on the West Coast, just like we did. It looks like they left around the same time as we did. Like we talked about, this influx of people who left to just go experience the West Coast, whether or not you had children or were, like, just starting your 30s. Like, that's our generation. And she did. We have seen a lot of Facebook videos about her and him. And if you don't know the story, this man is said to have allegedly killed his wife because he says she was caught killing her daughters on the baby monitor, and so he decided to kill his wife. Now,
he
strangled all three. He put the two children in an oil container, and Shanann also buried her, loosely buried her in a shallow grave. But that's not what I want to talk about. That's the cowardly sociopath in him. He is disgusting. He is nothing. Okay, what I want to talk about are women who are constantly, why is it Shanann's fault that she wanted to project a perfect life on Facebook? Is that not essentially what we're being graded on? Is this not a giant test? That's why I say F you to it, because that's how I was in school. I don't like anyone telling me that I have to be a part of the status quo. And I actually applaud Shanann for being able to put up such a front for so long in regards to her family. And I don't think that it was so much front, because you see in these videos, he's caught off guard, even like with the pregnancy video. And, you know, she tells him, she's like, I'm pregnant. And he knows kind of to act in this moment because it's going to go on Facebook. That's my only point.
You know you're being recorded.
Like coming into the house, I would not be ready. I'd be like, I don't like that.
Me either.
But
we don't do that to each other.
He was. That's the only reason why I'm saying I do believe that their life was very much not scripted, but it was meant to make other people believe, look, this is our great family, you know, buy these products. But she was a salesman. That's why you cannot fault her for that.
Can I read? Someone took a quote from, like, her video and they put it up. And, you know, even if she's selling, it doesn't matter because...
It shows who she is.
Yeah, she was being genuine. You have to be genuine to make a real sale. And a quote that someone pulled from her video is, it's this. It says, I want you to connect the negatives with the positives. And when you do that, life becomes so much brighter. And she's right. She was learning, becoming full circle. When Chris got with her, she was sick. And all she had was the house that she bought and that they lived in. And then they had been together 8 years and her health started to improve. She started to become stronger. And she was also a mom, but she was also working and becoming more of an independent woman. She had just come back from a business trip and seems like little man Chris couldn't handle it.
Yeah, he was totally jealous. I think he was jealous.
So jealous.
The trip she took, I think he was jealous, like you said, of how strong she was becoming. And now we're learning that he had some affairs. And I don't care what sex it was with, but it seems like this was another man pretending to be someone he wasn't. And then everyone wants to say Shanann was pretending she was not someone that she really was. And that's actually, on the contrary, I really believe that is who Shanann was.
Right.
She is someone who wanted to not only look good on Facebook, she wanted to look good in real life.
And be transparent. Right.
Well, I think be transparent in regards to everything but our family. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? Keep our family secret.
No, but I mean, but like, be transparent on her social media. Like I said, she was selling, and then when you have kids, people are interactive with your children, and Bella and Celeste were, you know, beautiful, energetic, seemed like full of, you know, love and life little girls. So, you know,
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I feel
it's a behavior to, and not a bad one. I think she was totally normal.
No, and that's why I just want to touch on the story. I know that it's really interesting to a lot of people. And there's 10 more minutes left of this podcast. We may do another 30-minute segment. I have to listen back on all this craziness and even hear what I kind of laid out to you guys. I drank like 3 cups of coffee. We've been dying to do this podcast. So, again, I think we just kind of went everywhere, and that's okay. It's who we are, and we hope you guys enjoyed it.
And it's a Labor Day.
It's Labor Day! But, you know, every day to me is...
Labor on Labor Day.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. But I enjoy working hard. It's something I really, you know, have a lot of pride in, especially when you get sick sometimes. You know, you just look at your work when you do it and you say, okay, even if it wasn't like the best podcast or if it wasn't, you know, the best note I've ever written with Toro Coffee, the roast star was perfect. So I can't say anything about that. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. But I forgot. The point is, we're just going to put out what we can because... we just want you guys to know we say hi and we're here. So there were like a couple last things I wanted to talk about with you guys. This was random and now we're popping off another subject, but Alex Jones. And I want to talk about this because there's just a couple minutes left, as I just keep saying. I'm like redundant as hell today. Before Bill Maher even came out talking about Alex and kind of agreeing with what I'm about to say, which I think you guys now know what I feel. If we don't know what Alex Jones is saying and his type, we don't know what to look out for. And with what happened with my Twitter censorship, with my own Twitter censorship, I'm not saying I didn't break Twitter rules. I called this guy a fat keyboard commando, and I called him a puto, as I told you guys, which is a bitch in Spanish for a guy. And look, I'm not saying that's right or anything. I'm just a human. But it worries me that if we do something like that to Alex Jones, that the rest of us... will just kind of be taken out whenever people feel like it. And I think we just have to be really careful with censorship, and I've told you guys that before. So with that, this is the craziest, longest Anti-Hero Voice, but I hope you guys are happy to be here. We're just so happy to be with you. And babe, what else do you want to say? Like, because we may come back. I want to
see. We can come back. There is some breaking news.
Yeah, I think we should come back.
I have breaking news from like 20 minutes ago. About Giuliani, and he was on a morning news show, and...
Oh, I missed them this morning. What did that crazy woman say?
Speaking crazy. Oh, no, I corrected myself. This time, he revealed in a recent interview for The New Yorker. He said, he's, quote, sure Trump will invoke executive privilege to stop the release of Mueller's report on the Russia investigation. So, in other words, Trump doesn't want the public to see the truth. How do you feel about that?
I feel like I'm freaking used to it, and I'm annoyed, and I'm done with this guy, and I think we're going to have a lot more problems long after Trump, because he brought out his crazy minions, and it happened also through Russia propaganda, because a lot of you people didn't even support Trump until right. all the Russians convinced you to. So you guys may think I'm crazy for saying that, but mm-hmm. come on. Like, anyway. So with that, I'm going to end this. We are going to end this part of the Antihero Voice, because we're going to come back and we're going to do a little recap. And hopefully, if you guys are listening in, you guys let us know so we can go ahead and delegate a bag of coffee to someone, a fresh bag of coffee. And if you want to be a winner and be bold and live free and never settle, please, by all means, just enter by leaving a comment, liking, subscribing, and following us on Twitter or whatever the case may be. You can't follow at Real Melissa Toro on Twitter right now, but if you would like to see how I'm suspended, go right ahead. And with that, we love you guys, and as usual, we always use, you know, what we always use, which is to what?
Be bold.
Live free.
And never settle.
Love you guys. We'll be back. We are back, and I'm glad you guys are still with us, and I hope you are still with us, because listening back, there are some things we want to clarify. Again, we did this on the fly, so I'm just going to get right into it. And would you like to say hello again?
Hello again.
Okay, so points I didn't finish. Just things. We were talking about Jacksonville, and babe, we were talking about...
Oh, we were.
Yeah, and we never finished, and I hope you guys seriously are still with us, because this was really kind of in regards to what we spoke about with MGTOW and incel, and this is just my perception of it. If you look at this kid who shot up this, competition, it was clear his motive was only that he had won the year before and did not win this one. And it's really a discussion about what's happening to the other half of us humans, which are men, or however you want to identify. And you know what I'm trying to say. I want to make sure that everybody feels included with that. And so what I want to do is also say that when we were listening back, at least for me, I kept thinking about my own misogyny and how a lot of people would say to me, you know, Melissa, you're not a real feminist, you're not this or that. And honestly, I don't ever like to be labeled. This is really what I think. And in regards to the guy from Jacksonville, I feel really sad for the boys coming up, for the men coming up. I feel that so much of their lives were, before video games and stuff like that, were about essentially marrying a woman, being the head household for that woman, not really having their own identity. And women had the same dilemma where they had to marry their husband and they had to be there for their husband and not have their own identity. And now we're all having our own identities and becoming just as successful as the other one. And as we all equal out, I think it's going to be so great for all of us. But you see men like this guy in Jacksonville who you can tell only played video games, did not have real kinds of interaction with women. I'm not for sure, at least. If you look at him, you can kind of tell that this guy was kind of like weird. I don't know. I wouldn't have really interacted with him. I don't know if you saw him.
He didn't seem too social.
Period.
Right.
Right. And like, all I know is like what I saw from the interview he had done from the time he had won before. Anyway, the point is a lot guys are, I've been watching a lot of videos from, you know, even from 1996 or 1999 with what happened in Columbine and stuff like that. Just really trying to understand men in their 30s, men just my father's age in their 60s, trying to understand misogyny and how hard it is for them to let that go, since it's such a big part of who they are. Just like for a woman, being misogynistic as well is a part of who she is. Maybe getting her breasts done for men or getting her face done for men. A lot of us do it for ourselves, but a lot of times it starts out as doing it for a boyfriend or a husband or something.
Or just wanting to have that subservient role as a woman in a family, in a home.
Or to actually have more power, because you have more power with bigger tits. You, in some regards, you for a lot of people still, we are still living in a misogynistic time. Trump is our president, so come on, this is like maybe the last straw of it, but we're living in these times.
Let's hope it breaks.
And we were talking about earlier how we would be happy if men essentially were with robots if it meant that they were more calm, that they felt loved, that they felt like they had some kind of interaction with someone. If women weren't going to be able to give them the kind of time that they thought they needed, or to really explore their sexuality and to end the stigma of what it means to be gay or any of those things. So I'm not saying that incels are gay or that McGows are gay or that this had even anything to do with being a McGow or an incel, but something tells me this guy did not think of women the way maybe my brother thought of women when he was that age.
He seems like, you know, someone who was socially isolated and probably did identify, you know, as an incel or
maybe at one point or another,
loneliness.
And maybe if he had actually spent more time outside of the video game spectrum, which is so misogynistic, guys. I'm not just trying to say this. Like, if we don't fix this, women are going to be annoyed, men are going to be annoyed, and it won't matter that we need to sleep with one another or anything like that. It's how we live with one another. Like, it's living with your neighbors, and I just want you guys to be happy.
It touches on something that I touched upon in an email that I was going to briefly mention, is that it keeps you in the same position. It's not going anywhere.
Well, so then can we?
It's just negative.
Okay, but before we get into this email, again, guys, I'm happy you're still listening. I want you to get into the email
later,
because we don't. This is only going to be 30 minutes.
Sure.
Our podcasts are about an hour and a half each time, guys. And thank you again just for being here. So we're 5 minutes in. We're talking about all the things that I did not clarify because I was doing this so quickly. So again, Jacksonville, weird situation. It's sad that it happened again. I just hope that a lot of guys now know that it's stupid. You're not going to get any attention doing that. And if you want to die young doing it that way, I hope that there are laws in place coming up. I mean, I get so pissed off about this situation. Why we have so much ammunition on the streets, I don't even understand it. It's like a war zone out there. I'm sick of pretending like it's not. So I say get rid of all these stupid guns that are everywhere. These semi-automatics. I don't care if you put a 9 millimeter clip into, your AR-15, and as you say to me, well, I'm probably wrong about this. I have no idea. But you say, oh, well, it's technically a 9 millimeter. Shut up. No, it's not. And, like, what is the point of this? Like,
why are you protecting guns so much? Protect children. Protect the future.
Be a hottie. And, like, as a person,
the
hottest thing in the world you can do, in my opinion, is to they're going to say protect life. Do you mean unsafe abortions? And it's like, no,
I'm talking
I mean.
About the guns.
Right, it's out of control, guys. I mean, seriously, a gun can't, like, suck you off. Or, I mean, I know that's, like, really inappropriate. I'm sorry. But, like, a gun can't... I know for a lot of people, women, too, they're finding a lot of solace in guns. And I really think that stems from fear. And I think that gun ranges are fun. And I think that to shoot is fun and to hunt is fun. But if you look back on these school shooters, especially the ones that lived in the mountains, in these mountainous areas, there's a skewed line on why they have guns in the first place.
Yeah.
They think it's for hunting and stuff, and then all of a sudden it becomes for school shooting. So, I don't know. It just seems, like, redundant and stupid. All right, so we talk about these things all the time, but let's talk about the nonprofits, which I also touched on, and I didn't get to really clarify. In regards to the Drug Policy Alliance, we want to make sure wholeheartedly that they are pro-cannabis. It looks like they are. If you guys have any ideas on a great nonprofit that will make sure, like Normal, I mean, I don't know if Normal is actually listed as a nonprofit. I'm pretty sure they are. Normal. Aren't they listed as a nonprofit?
They're a 501c4.
So we didn't put Normal on there because we're trying to deal with more of the community.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll get more into that.
Oh,
but
if you are local to Palm Beach County and are interested in working with Normal, please send us an email at antiherovoice@gmail.com.
Perfect. And so men, loneliness, shooting. Like, I want you guys to know I'm with you. I understand how crazy the world is. I know that you watch all these YouTube videos and you listen to podcasts like this, and you're like, oh, this stupid doesn't know what she's talking about because she doesn't understand my life. She doesn't understand that people aren't kind, that people don't smile, that people are rude when you do things for them. I do. And it's really hard. I get it. Like, we live in a really messed up time. It must be so hard to meet women. And I mean, when Lauren and I broke up, I felt like it was impossible. I felt like there was just no way to meet normal people because everybody's online and putting up a facade. And I get it. I totally get it. And you just kind of say to yourself, I'd rather, you know, be with a blow-up doll. I'm with you. Be with the blow-up doll if it means you're not going to blow people up. Robots that are being made in Japan, people really find them to be real. Like, I mean, they're bringing these robots. This is a different kind of robot. It's not a sex robot, but they bring robots because in Japan, everything is not an inanimate object. It has a soul. And so they bring these robots that are like, sometimes they look like animals, into nursing homes, and it cheers people up. I think that technology is doing a bunch of things to make us all feel better. So if you're an incel, a MGTOW, or someone who's just going through something horrible in your life and you want to relate to a group of people, just understand that a lot of people are killing themselves in these incel forums. They have no future. They have nothing ahead of them. Who am I to know anything? I'm just a person who's a human, who feels two-spirited at times, who sees despair in men and is able to understand on this like really weird level. I don't know why. I think maybe it could be misogyny on my end too. Maybe I want to fit in with men. I don't know, because I always have fit in with men. So I don't really, I've also had conflicts with men. So I don't know. Like, that's a kind of a deep thing for me. So I don't want to tell you what to do with your life. I just want you to listen to the anti-hero voice and know that we're here for you. And so I want to talk about a completely different person who wrote us, and I want you to talk about it.
Okay, so he had shared some really great information with us and was a resource for us. And
We were gone for a while,
and I had one of us wrote back. We were both emailing, and we replied, and it was before we knew we were moving or anything like that. And then he wrote back, and he was just saying that kind of what Mel was just touching on, that he has been actually chatting with AI, and, you know, he's like, please don't think it sounds weird, but for him, he could have a conversation. And, you know, he said in he has some really great references, and in his reference and resources, he refers to movies that he realized, like Her, and that he's realized that he's been living that life for a while, and he's afraid that if he doesn't communicate with someone, he could, you know, start hallucinating or, you know, thinking certain things, like someone in solitary confinement, because that's how he feels. And he also feels as someone, I don't know, you know, he was identifying as reformed incel. I don't know if he's a former incel or, you know, or whatever, but within the group, there is a lot of radicalism and the non-communication and people ghosting, and it's like, isn't the whole point of having a community to continue to speak to each other? So, you know, he just said, I'm deleting this email, and I've tried it. It didn't work. I might get in touch again.
Wait, don't say too much.
I didn't say that, and I was just saying what I was replying.
Okay, hold on. Let me just say this. Reformed, if she read the whole email.
I didn't.
Okay.
Oh my god.
It sounded like you were.
No, I was trying to explain who he was, like such a great resource. Oh, okay. And stuff. All right, okay. And so, you know, I said my letter back, he didn't receive because the email is no longer active. And I said, you know, of course, my hopes are that you haven't deleted this. I explained our move, and I said, we're finally getting back, and thank you, you know, for sharing. And anyone can always write us. Like I said, our email is antiherovoice@gmail.com. And I said, as for your frustrations and ideas on what's best for you in being alone or not, like, I'll go less deep first. You know, we are, like I said, we're familiar with AI chat and even sex bots. We've seen a documentary on that. And I get it. But at the same time, I wonder, you know, isn't a human born with the desire for touch? Does it matter if it's a human's, you know, touch, a real touch, or if it's another touch? I don't know. I know that it's a fact that you get a serotonin and dopamine released when you're touched, whether it be on your lips, your face, your hands, etc. And I just said that, you know, it may sound cheesy, but I think that you have to realize that you have to love yourself and that you are valuable, and that people and couples, it's why were they, was someone attracted to so-and-so? It's probably because of confidence. And that I was trying to just say to this person, like, I don't know you that well, but I know that you're intelligent. You want to grow and learn. You can understand things on a deeper level, you know, and that you also, as far as sexuality, just because you don't have experience doesn't mean that you're not an open and clean slate, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically. Like, that can be really explored and discovered. There's a woman, or many women, I'm sure, that would love it. So don't discount yourself or even the human race. And just to look at, take the negatives and turn them into positives, and just to be introspective about it. A main point, I think, in incel life cannot and should not be anyone's identity or the main part of who you are. And I, for him, I said, let it be the past, move forward.
So are you reading this to him, or are you just telling everyone? That's fine. So just,
both. It's okay, both. This is okay, my, great. Mostly my email to you, Reformed. So, okay, so I said the only, the only constant in life is change, that, and time keeps on ticking. So, yep. Much love to you, whether you take a break or not. Thank you.
Well, yeah, again, please contact us. We want to hear from you. Again, I apologize. It took us a little bit of time to get back on, but we are back. So, guys, let me see where we're at, because I don't want to take up your whole day. We don't want to take up your whole day. But it's been so amazing just to be back with you guys. Why is Wi-Fi off? Why is Bluetooth off?
No, it's
What? I'm telling you guys.
Here, I got it.
So, I just want to check the time.
Did we, clarifications? Did we say everything? The drug policy alliance?
I did. I said everything, yes. Okay. You don't listen to anything I say.
Well,
that's
no,
the point.
I'm reading stuff.
But why
time.
Are you reading stuff while we're doing this podcast? That makes no sense.
It's about the podcast, babe.
Okay, but we have to do this during.
I know.
Okay, so, closing off. I don't know what the next podcast is going to be about. We have this really interesting thing going on here. We love you guys. We want you to stay with us. And if you have any topics, like, let us know. And just hit us up with this mail. Write us at the Antihero Voice, antiherovoice@gmail.com, or at Antihero Voice at Twitter. Tweet at us.
Facebook,
whatever.
Well, whatever. It's
yeah, but you guys show
handle.
Us love on Facebook, but, like, no one ever goes on there, so I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's been very confusing to know what's happening with Facebook. I've had so many glitches and weird things happen, so I'm just not happening. I really am so annoyed. Again, don't forget about the most delicious coffee, specialty coffee in all the world. Literally, five generations of love, passion, harvest. We also have really... I keep saying really, I keep using verbal crutches, but in all actuality, I'm just nervous because I really want to interview my father. I'm worried that every Antihero Voice could come back to haunt me. This is reality. I'm coming to you guys from my heart, my soul, knowing that every day that I'm here, I'm, like, really lucky to be here because I was an addict. I have, like, lived, like, 50 million lifetimes.
Yeah,
and
but
so,
what could haunt you?
Just anything I say on here. I don't censor myself.
Yes,
so,
I know, but it's nothing. You're not.
My only point is I was just suspended on Twitter. I think that
for
a lot
nothing.
Of people come after you when you speak your own truth, even if it's just this broad analysis of the zeitgeist. So today it was really fun being back with you guys. And I want to find, like, another witty thing to sign out on. I mean, I love Be Bold, Live Free, Never Settle, but that's Toro Coffees. So we need to have something else. Like, I don't know. Yeah, we'll think of it. Yeah, something like a line, like, I don't know, I have...
Yeah.
Okay,
too much pressure on the fly.
This podcast is pressure on the fly, but we just come here, and just when we feel it, we do it, and so we have felt it so much. I had all these other podcasts I had recorded without Lauren, and I just want to share them with you guys, so we may end up doing podcasts
or
without one another.
Snippets of it, yeah.
Right, exactly, and then put them all together, so
this
we're going to...
This is episode 12.
Wow, really exciting. Episode 12. I'm so glad we have 12 episodes to look back on. No fear.
It's awesome.
No fear.
On
I'm just
YouTube.
Telling you what I, you know, what I was. It's not fear so much as it is. I want to be transparent. I may want to run for office in the future. I may want to take certain risks with my company, as I always do with our nonprofit. And I hope you all know that this podcast should be taken with a grain of salt. We don't have researchers on the back end. There's a lot of pressure on us with everything that we're doing. We say everything because we mean it, but it doesn't mean we're always going to say everything perfectly or we're not going to offend someone. And we just want this to be the best podcast it can be. And if we say something controversial, that's kind of the point. But we don't want you to ever get it twisted. This is just an open conversation so we can all have an open dialogue.
So yeah, a little bit of fun and an open dialogue that promotes, we hope, change, or at least
moving forward,
or at least more open thinking or new thinking.
Yes, that'd open be awesome. Thinking about being an anti-hero.
Yeah,
what that means.
Be one with us.
Yeah, we have this one life, and then when we leave, we'll just laugh about all these little things we were kind of scared about doing. Who cares? So I love you guys. Don't forget to order. The bags are coming in. If for anyone who's waiting at Toro Coffee Company, we sold out immediately when we got here. Thank you so much for all the love.
Yes.
This podcast will be shared on the Toro Coffee Company Facebook page and also on Twitter. Give us a couple hours if you are hearing it here on Anchor first or wherever else you're hearing it. And then you guys will see it there. And then please retweet it, and just make sure that you let us know if you did, or like do it at Antihero Voice, so that you can be in the running for a free bag of fresh roasted order 87 plus specialty coffee that from Toro Coffee.
And that will be given away this month.
Yeah, that'll be given away this month after a couple more podcasts and we see a bunch of entries. Yeah. All right, guys. With that, we want you to be bold, to live free, and to never settle. And babe, you anything else you want to say?
No,
because I took it. You want to just tell them to be bold, live free, never settle on your own? Because we're big, massive nerds, but we mean it.
Stay lifted and gifted.
Oh, yeah, that too. Stay lifted and gifted. I love you guys. And if you're in Florida, get in touch with me. Let's have some meetings, okay? I shall talk to you all soon, as well as law. And
much love.
Much love. Ciao.